Well, Amal, that's a very, very powerful call to start the program this evening, and I'm slightly lost for words as to how to respond to you. But I will say this. In the corridor in this building, a man, a Palestinian man, who was for many years a blood brother of mine, who treated me as a hero as I broke the siege on Gaza over and over again, who respected me for 40 years of struggle for the Palestinian people, walked past me and only mumbled a reply to my salam in Ramadan, where once he would have kissed me on my head. Why? Even though he's a Palestinian, he's more concerned about the sect and about the political movement based on a sect than he is about the Ummah as a whole, than he is about the stand that some of us have taken in defense of the Arabs, in defense of the Palestinians. I have given my political blood, all of my adult life, for his people. And he couldn't bring himself to return my salam. That's sectarianism. That's sectarian madness. If you want my honest opinion, that's treason to the Palestinian people, because it proves that you are ready to put the interests of your own miserable little movement, of your own sect, over the interests, the sacred interests of the Palestinian people under attack. Millions of people, millions on Facebook, read a series of questions that I asked of the Arab leaders just this week. I asked them this. I said, is there one, just one Arab leader who will raise one finger to defend the Palestinian people in their pogrom, being bombed from sea, land, and air, being massacred in front of your eyes? Is there one of you who will raise your finger? Where is the custodian of the two mosques, I asked? Where is Erdogan, the would-be Ottoman protector? Where are all these kings, all these emirs? There's only two Muslim leaders who are ready, who have always been ready, and who have proved with their blood and their children's blood that they are ready to defend the Palestinian people. One of them is Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, and the other is the leader of the Iranian Revolution and his people. Yet these individuals want to make the Muslims hate them, want to make them the enemy, rather than those who are murdering the Palestinian people this evening. I'm sorry if that's a bit emotional, Amal, but you got the tears flowing in my eyes. Thanks very much for that call. Let's go to the comment wall and take our first email of the evening. Ali in London. Hi, George. I think that the ISIS militants are aiming to stop attacking other towns and just stay where they are for the next month. They will instead try to build up their resources and work on public relations during Ramadan. I think that this will lull the Iraqi army and Maliki into a false sense of security. Well, that's a very smart analysis, Ali. I think that there's something in what you say. I don't believe, actually, that ISIS or ISIL can make any further military advances. But there's a big question mark over whether the Iraqi state can take back those parts of Iraq that are currently in their hands. Here's Ali in Malaysia. Let's hear what Ali has to say. Welcome, Ali.
Thank you very much, George. I'm pleased to be back on your show again. It's quite very, very touching and disheartening to see, you know, all these civilians and also all the deaths in Iraq today, despite all that has happened, you know, prior to this present situation. Particularly to your question, George, you asked if Ramadan would be a possible time that, you know, groups like the ISIL could possibly, you know, reduce their violence, you know, because of the month of Ramadan. And I would say it's a clear no, because, I mean, not only now, but even if you look through the past, you know, all that has happened in Syria and, you know, other parts within the region, the period of Ramadan has not actually been a period where we would expect a reduction in violence across. However, if you look at the ISIL movement, should I call it, it's looking, it's going towards an ideal picture of an Islamic state, which is, you know, which is not possible, which is unrealistic. I mean, if that is the case, then what are they after, if that is the case? Remember, if we go back to history, the last time we had any form of an ideal caliphate system was, I think, back in 1924, in the late era of the Turkish Ottoman Empire. And what is happening today in Iraq is happening simultaneously with a number of other issues on ground. So for any you know, drawback from ISIL, we would expect the equation to be imbalanced. So for them, they have to keep under pressure.
But it's partly propaganda, Ali. Sorry, it's not a great line. It's partly propaganda, and they've had a fantastic amount of public relations and propaganda over this last few weeks. They have captured territory. They have captured great and historic Iraqi cities. They have made it difficult for Iraq to take that territory back. They still hold substantial territory, albeit not as they did in Syria. And they have the people in Lebanon anxious that explosions and atrocities are about to break out there. So in a way, the fighter like them doesn't have to win. He just has not to lose. And he can hit and move and decide when and when not to go forward. So it's a very tricky situation that we are now in. And it will be interesting to see what tactics they follow. Myself, I think they are gamblers. I don't mean actual gamblers, but they're gambling with their current position. If I can continue the metaphor, they think they've won the lottery, and they're probably likely to keep on gambling. And I think that they will come a cropper. Because the truth is this, that the kind of Islam that they are forcing down people's throats, or they cut their throats if they won't swallow it, is just against the way of life of the Arabs. The Arabs don't want to live the kind of life that ISIL wants to make them live. And that, in the end, will be the rocks on which they will founder. I believe that. My last point is this. You're in Malaysia. And this self-appointed caliph claims that the people in Indonesia, the world's biggest Muslim country, have to pledge their allegiance to him. But there's the small matter of the fact that the Indonesian people are this very weekend actually electing their leader. They're going to the polls to cast a vote to elect their president. The idea that hundreds of millions of Indonesians are, instead of choosing their own leaders, going to have to give baya to some obscure individual in the west of Iraq is simply ridiculous. Let's squeeze quickly on to Ali Reza in Tanzania. Ali Reza, welcome.
Thank you, George. How are you?
By the grace of God, I'm good. Thanks for getting through. Go on.
Okay, I just wanted to add a few things about this ISIL, which is the topic for today.
Yep.
My observation is that Ramadan and the Islamic principle is not going to bring any magic to ISIL. Number one, also the propaganda, what they are doing, and they are calling upon all the Muslims. It's in Islamic also to kill a person. I mean, if we recall and take the lessons from the Holy Prophet, they have been disturbing, they have been raping ladies, they have been killing people, I mean, horribly. They have been torturing the dead bodies, they have been cutting heads. I don't find any magic from Ramadan going to come and assist the Muslim world. My appeal to the Muslim world is that this ISIL, they are not Muslim. I mean, also the word ISIL should not be the Islamic State of Muslim. These are not Muslim, but these are barbarians, baboons. This is what I can tell them. For the entire Muslim, the disheartening part is that the Arabs, the entire Arab world, they talk only one language, and that is Arabic. But surprisingly, today, there is no unity between themselves.
No.
The state, those are sponsoring the terror. It is shame that the fire, what they have lit, willingly, this is what I predict, that they themselves will never be safe from the lit of
fire.
Well,
I agree with that. And that's the fundamental question, the disunity amongst the Arabs and indeed elsewhere in the Ummah. And that's a question we'll continue to discuss in the second half of the show. We're talking about Iraq. I need to take a short break for a short news bulletin. Please don't go away. God willing, I'll still be here 3 minutes from now when you come back to comment.